Hi, everybody. My name's Mallory. I get to work here in the Office of Christian Ministry here at the university, and I am very happy to be here with you. I'm very happy to have the privilege of sharing from the Word with you tonight. Thank you, Sadie, for the opportunity. So I picked up my cross and carried it today. Literally, I carried this cross down the road. I live like a few blocks down from Dauk on College Ave, and I wanted to have a cross here for this message tonight, and so I wanted to take the one out of our dining room, because obviously everyone has like a life-size cross in their dining room, and there was really nowhere else to get it here except to like put it on my shoulder and walk down College Ave. And so, and there's no way that that doesn't look like I'm making some kind of religious statement, like I'm trying to, like, I am the weird person in town. I was, like, praying that no one would see me, but that's not true. So I found that people wouldn't make eye contact with me. Strange. And everyone was, like, suddenly in a real big hurry to get where they're going. And I'm like, what is happening? So here's what I'm trying to say. If someone says, hey, I think I saw that lady that works at the chapel, like having some kind of demonstration down College Ave, it's okay with me if you pretend like you don't know who I am. I won't take offense to it. I get it. It's okay. So we are in the middle of a series here at The Well. Anybody remember what it's called? Is it on the screen? Ah, cheaters, all of you. Joy in the Journey. We are in the book of Philippians. And we are going to dig into seven verses tonight. That's it, seven verses. But I'm telling you that they are seven verses that are packed with like soul sustenance and life-altering truth. Anybody want some life-altering truth and some soul sustenance? Yeah. Let me just pray for us as we jump into the Word tonight. God, we recognize that you're here with us, that you are alive, that you are real, that your presence is here, that you want to know us, you want to invite us into deeper relationship with you, you want to reveal to us more about who you are, and you want us to experience the abundant life and specifically the joy that is available to us through your Son, Jesus. And so I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' strong name we pray, amen. So we're going to start, as we go through this text, you're going to notice that we're spending a lot of time looking at the context around the passage. Sadie talked a little bit about context last week. Why is context important? Anybody? Good, David. Good. Verses can be weird a little bit sometimes if we don't have context. Yeah. It can be misconstrued, which is really interesting because Scripture is a source of truth for us, right? It's where Jesus is revealed to us. And the reality is, if we read Scripture at face value with our 2018 Ashland, Ohio, American lenses on, and read kind of the English translation of things, sometimes we can misinterpret the meaning of what's going on. And so it's important to kind of listen to what other voices have to say about a passage, what the original languages are saying. And so we're going to dig into the depths of the text tonight, but it's going to be awesome. My second favorite professor at seminary, that's a thing, right? You're allowed to say that. It's not my favorite. I have another favorite, my second favorite, which is still good. He studied Hebrew language, like, all the time. It's what he does for fun. And he talks about how in the English language we're a little bit limited because sometimes we have a word and it has a very direct, specific meaning, and it can be very black and white. And in Hebrew language, this is also true for Greek language, in the New Testament is written in, it's more like, he would say, it's more like discovering a rare gem. And it has lots of sides to it and lots of different nuances of meaning. And you can turn this gem around and see how the light reflects off it differently. And it just has this like full, wide meaning to it. And so as we go through this, try to think less like you're in a class studying what do words mean, and more like we're treasure hunting together. Is that okay? All right. So We are going to start. We are in Philippians 2. We're going to start in verse 12. Okay, here we go. Therefore. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, I know you guys are like checking your phone discreetly. You're like, oh, are we going to go through seven verses one word at a time? There's powder puff football later. But this one is really important, so we're going to sit here for a minute. So there's kind of a joke in Bible interpretation circles, real funny group of people. Those people, fun-loving, Emma got it. And it's like every time you come across the therefore, you have to ask, what's the therefore there for? Yeah? Bible jokes? Yeah, I get it. But the idea is that's true. Like the author is saying, because of what I just said, keep that in mind as you read this. And so we do need to visit that. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Jesus followers in Philippi, is going to carry on with some instructions for their community. But again, he's starting with, because of what I just said. So let's revisit, what did he just say? We talked about it last week, we're just going to quickly go over it again. I need a volunteer to be Jesus for a minute. No pressure. Jacob, great, you look Middle Eastern. Come on up. Perfect. So if you could stand in front of the cross. And then I'm going to reread the passage that comes right before the one we're starting in. We're in Philippians 2, and it's the Christ hymn, and it's the story of Christ. It's not going to be on the screen. You can just kind of listen as I read through it. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we see the gospel story represented. Everyone says that this story in Philippians is the center of Philippians, so the letter. So everything Paul does comes back to this Christ hymn and the story of Jesus. I'm going to go a step further and say everything about Paul's life comes back to the story of Jesus and the good news. And so we see kind of two parts to this, and Sadie talked about this last week. One is the emptying out. And then one is the being exalted when he is victorious over death and God raises him up to the highest place. Now, it's hard. You can't really do both of those things. Well, I guess you can. Yes. So maybe let's go the other way. Yes, because we read left to right and this is the progression. And so we have the emptying and the exaltation. And because it's hard to picture literary format when we're reading like a book, we're going to do it this way. So Paul starts the book over here. You can keep doing that. It's fine. Get comfortable. And and he starts the book, the letter to the church in Philippi, and he says, in your suffering, persevere and have hope and stick to the gospel. And as Sadie talked about last week, this idea of be united together and consider others better than yourself, because everything leads to this. Because the story of Jesus, where he humbles himself, he pours himself out in order to save all of humanity. This is the story of humanity's salvation through God's love in Christ. And then God exalts him to the highest place and gives him all the honor. And then we come to where we are tonight, and he says, because of this story, keep this in mind as everything else I tell you, therefore this. Thank you, Jacob. So, if we are trying to understand Paul, we have to understand that everything for him is wrapped around Jesus, the reality of what Jesus has done for us. There's a worship song called Center by Charlie Hall. Has anyone heard it? I was in high school when it came out, so you guys might have been in, like, kindergarten or something. But I love it, and it talks about how Jesus is the center of our lives. And the bridge to the song goes, we lift our eyes to heaven. We wrap our lives around your life. And that has always stood out to me. And that is the definition of what it means for Paul to be a Jesus follower. So when you say, I receive the good news. I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. I surrender my life to him as a response to his love and his salvation. I give my life over. I choose to follow him. For us, that means our lives become intertwined with Jesus' life. We wrap our lives around his life. It's our identity now. We are Jesus versions of ourselves. Jesus lives in us, as Paul will say in Galatians. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's also the center of his purpose. For Paul, everything comes back to the story and the reality and the salvation of Jesus. All he wants to do is tell as many people as possible about what's happened with Jesus and the salvation that we have. Therefore, because of this, okay, let's continue on. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is one of those funny scriptures, right? Does anyone else ever read this and go like, what? What does that mean? And this is one, again, that I think when we read it at face value with our English kind of glasses on, we might miss the meaning a little bit. And so let's look at some of these words. First of all, the word obey is a word that intentionally reminds the reader of a Hebrew word that's used a lot called shema, which means to hear and respond with surrender. So we think obedience and we think maybe like we're supposed to do whatever our parents tell us to do because they're authority in our lives. And that's not necessarily the meaning here. When it says obey, it means hear the good news and respond with surrender. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does anybody kind of get this picture of like, I guess that means try really hard to be a good Christian because I should be a little bit afraid of God or God's judgment. Like, it's a little bit like, what does it mean to work out my salvation? What does it mean to work out my salvation? Do I not have that as a gift? And then what's it mean to do that with fear and trembling? Again, let's just look quickly at what these words mean. So salvation, the word salvation here, we read that and we think our personal eternal security, because again, that's kind of what we're taught that word means. But the word in the original language is referring to the restoration of wholeness of the community. Okay, so salvation is our eternal security in heaven someday. That's part of it. But it is so much more than that. This is one of those gems, right, that we have to turn around and say, wow, salvation means something so much bigger than just maybe what we've been taught. And it means that God is restoring everything now. And so this is talking about restoring wholeness and spiritual health to the community. And again, this fits in with what Paul's saying to the church in Philippi, right? He's saying, be unified, be healed, be whole, demonstrate God's work among you. So this might be better translated as obediently work at achieving the corporate well-being and spiritual wholeness of the community. Okay, so what does fear and trembling mean? Fear for me means something specific, and it has to do with watching horrible Halloween movies that like was so cool in high school, so I did it, and then I would like have nightmares for months. Like it means like to be afraid and feel unsafe about things. The word here actually has something to do with reverence. You might have heard this before, it's true. This word has to do more with reverence than fear. And it's this idea of, again, he's saying, because of what Jesus has done, and just for a moment, picture God coming down, being human, being accessible to the children that he loves, sacrificing himself, giving himself entirely to secure their salvation and their wholeness, and rising from the dead, and then being exalted and sitting in heaven with angels praising him eternally, and he's on the throne at the right hand of the Father. there should be something awe-inspiring about that story. We should be a little awestruck when we think about who God is as revealed in Jesus. And so it's this idea of we're awestruck and we're humble. I like to think of it as feeling appropriately small. I will stand here all day and talk about your significance and the power and authority that Jesus has given you to like bring the kingdom here on this earth, because that's very important. But I also think sometimes it's okay to feel small, because God is so mighty and so other, and it's good to recognize that we are not. And then the last part here is when we think about working out our salvation in that original thought of like I'm making my eternal security, feels a little weird. But when you think about working it out as far as bringing wholeness and healing to the community that you live in, that makes sense, right? We do have to work at that. We have to put intention into that. We have to put action into that. We have to forgive each other. We have to be gracious. We have to listen well. We have to communicate well. You guys, you've been in relationships with people. You know that they're hard work. That's okay. So that's about working out that salvation. It continues. I love this part because just, again, Paul's like, he always is emphasizing grace. And he's like, just in case you're thinking that this is all on your own effort, I'm going to throw this in. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose. So this is great, okay? So this word for it is God who works in you means that he strengthens you, he energizes you, and he creates in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose. Amen? This is good news. I love this. Some of the scholars who have studied this word start to refer to God as the great energizer because of it, which I love. I also can't help picturing the Energizer Bunny with like that. He's still going. But I love this idea because we're talking about, yes, it does require our willpower and a little bit like we have to have intention. We have to choose actions to live in the reality that the restored reality that God's given us. We have to choose that. But also God energizes us, which I think is awesome. Let's continue. So then he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Okay, some really important notes here. Do everything without grumbling. Grumbling is a reference to, it's supposed to remind the reader, it would have reminded the church in Philippi, of the story in the Old Testament about the Israelites who were rescued out of slavery and then kind of immediately start grumbling against God. You might have heard me talk about this before. It's a very fascinating story in Scripture. So God miraculously rescues them from slavery. You think that they would be rejoicing and trusting that God is going to provide for them, and immediately they go to being a little bit on the melodramatic side of, were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? That's what we're talking about when we say grumbling. And you're like, okay, well, I don't do that. But sometimes I think that I follow the pattern of the Israelites. I forget what God has done in my life. I forget how his actions have revealed his character of being loving and providing and faithful. And there are times when I don't trust God. I operate sometimes out of a mentality of lack. Does this sound familiar to anybody? We live in a capitalistic society, newsflash, and it's built on convincing you that you need something more and that you should spend your money on it. And so we're kind of bombarded with this idea of you don't have what you need to be happy. You need more. And it influences our faith, right? We can grumble. We can say, God, if only this would sort itself out, or if only this would solve itself, or if only I was in the next stage of life, or if only I could meet Mr. or Miss Wright, or if only, then I'll be happy. And so we operate in this mentality of lack, and it steals joy from our lives. It steals the good news. Arguing is simply what it is. So grumbling has to do with we're not happy with the Lord. And I want to say there's a place for lament. You know, like, it's okay for you to have difficult feelings and need to process those with God. We see it in Scripture, and it's good. But sometimes we can get stuck there. If we don't take it to God, then we can just kind of get this attitude of God's forsaken me, or I don't understand God, and we close ourselves off, and that's what robs us of joy. So you can have the hard feelings, but you gotta take them to the Lord. Arguing is kind of what Paul was referencing at the beginning when he says, be like-minded, put others before yourselves, be unified. So when we're arguing, obviously we're at enmity with those in our community, and we're not living in the reality of the gospel. We're not doing the thing that he's asked us to do, which is work out our corporate salvation and our healing and our wholeness. Grumbling and arguing are not positions of surrender. Okay, let's continue on. So blameless and pure, that's a reminder that we're to be as Jesus was in the world, as representatives of Jesus. Again, God's working in us to make us Christ-like. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. We have to talk about this for a second because it's really easy to read crooked and warped generation and kind of villainize the world or non-Christians, and that's not what it's referring to. It's borrowing some language from Deuteronomy 32, a prophetic poem from Moses, where he's talking about people who forgot their creator and therefore didn't have the God's perspective in life because they forgot who their father was. So again, he's using this as a reminder to align ourselves with God's perspective. So really, when it says crooked and warped generation, it means an era where the dominant perspective is not God's perspective, and it's out of alignment with God, and it doesn't cultivate surrendering to God. Does that sound familiar? Do we live in an era that might be a little bit out of alignment with God's perspective, the world around us? This is my favorite part of this whole scripture passage. I think everything leads up to this. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life, which is the gospel, which is the good news of what Jesus has done for us. So we are called, just like Paul, to bring the reality of Jesus' salvation to our day-to-day lives, to demonstrate the good news to those around us through our lives, through our actions, and to demonstrate his resurrection, and his restoration power. Now, this is great. The word for hold firmly means two things. It means hold on. Like I said, Paul says everything about my identity and purpose is wrapped up in Jesus, in his story, and in sharing that story, and in experiencing that story in my day-to-day life. So it's hold fast to that, and it also simultaneously means hold out for others. Isn't that beautiful? Hold fast to the good news and hold out the good news for others. So what happens when you light a candle and you're in a dark room? Like, does it just illuminate your space only? No, right? It affects the people around you. And so Paul is saying, stop grumbling with the Lord. Stop arguing with each other, because it inhibits the ability of people to see the good news in your lives, personally and corporately. Light spreads naturally. So Paul finishes this section by saying, then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice, that's the idea of emptying, in service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And so Paul says to find joy even in our suffering, right? Sadie's talked about this before. To find joy even in our suffering. Why is that? Because our suffering reminds us of Jesus' story. When we talk about joy, I want to be clear to say I don't mean like, I'm happy all the time, and I'm energetic all the time, and like I have this superficial level happiness. It's more like an abiding hopefulness and encouragement within your spirit, and you can be experiencing brokenness and joy at the same time. Amen? True of anybody? So I've had a recent experience where I was in a rough place. I'd suffered a personal loss. I had had a long season of really harsh self-criticism. I'm sure none of you can relate, but I'd just been really hard on myself, and I was so discouraged. And I sat with the Lord, and he spoke to me in that place, and he reminded me of who he is, what he's done for me, what he is in my life. And so I was at both times feeling broken, but there was part of my experience that was, but Jesus. But Jesus is my hope. But this story defines my life, and it's one of salvation and rescue. So, because both of these are true for us, right? We are called, as Sadie has talked about, to do the emptying, to do the pouring out of our lives out of self-giving love for others. But this is also part of our story. Paul says that if we share in Jesus' sufferings, we'll also share in his glory. Your destiny is inheritance, it's restoration, it's healing, it's hope. All of that is available to you. That's what's coming down the road for you. Those are things that we can get excited about. And it's not just down the road. It's available to us now. You carry God's salvation. I have a friend who talks about how the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that's an amazing thing that we can't really comprehend, but it's awesome. And so if we were to picture what it's like to be in the spiritual realm and see things that way, it would be like we have a super bright, shining light that lives inside of us. And we'll walk into a room, and we'll be thinking about, where's the first place I can get coffee? Is that just... Maybe that's just me. That's what I think about in the morning. I'm not always like remembering the gospel of Jesus. I'm like, where's the coffee? I'm hungry and I want coffee. So, you know, we're not even paying attention to the power that lives inside of us. But we walk into the room and the spiritual atmosphere is affected because God just entered that room who lives inside you. If we could see things the way that God does. Everything is about how we have been saved by God, personally and as a community, and how that salvation is available to everybody. So when we remember what Jesus has done, when we take time, like sometimes, you know, you experience this at church if you're doing communion, right? If you, then they're like, remember Jesus' sacrifice and his life and his death and his resurrection on your behalf. But if we could do that a little bit more often, if we can do a little bit more remembering of Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us, then two things are going to happen. We'll have the opportunity to respond with surrender again and say, you're right, God, you are the Lord of my life. I give you my life. I follow you. I submit to your leading. And we can recognize that we carry good news. Do you feel like you carry good news on a day-to-day basis? I don't always. Sometimes I get caught up in grumbling. Sometimes I get caught up in arguing. Sometimes I'm stuck in the lacking mentality, and I'm like, oh, if it could just be Saturday, then I'll be happy. You know, like we can really get in that mentality. But if we could remember that we carry the good news, then we're going to find that joy that Paul talks about that sustains us. And we're going to be able to share good news with others by just demonstrating it with our love, by saying it with our words, with whatever it looks like. So the way we live life together matters, and it affects our ability to represent Jesus and demonstrate Jesus. So for us tonight, we have the opportunity to remember what Jesus has done for us, surrender again to God in our lives, and say that we want our lives to be defined. We want our identity and our purpose to be defined by the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the thing. I wrap my life around that. That's the thing that's worthwhile. And I recognize that I carry good news and that we carry good news together. I really like this image of shining like stars and carrying the Holy Spirit, and that that's a bright thing and that it naturally affects people around us, that they can say, you've got something going on over there. What is that? I want to know what that is. And so as a reminder for us tonight, I have something that we can practice together as a community, and it's fun. It involves like glow sticks, right? Who doesn't love these things? So we were talking beforehand, and it was decided that we couldn't trust you to have these throughout the service because you would crack them. ahead of time. And I believe that's true because I get it. So we're going to have some time of worship. The band's going to play some pretty music, and we're going to sing praise songs to our God together. And I would encourage you to take some time and remember what Jesus has done. Remember what he has done for you and for us and what's available to us through his salvation. And whenever you're ready, take your time. You can come up and grab a light stick, and you can crack it to say, I recognize that I recognize that I carry good news, and that it shines, and that it impacts those around me. And also take a look around, and you can see that also we are a community of people that shine on this campus. Do you think that this campus needs a little bit more of Jesus? Right? Amen. That's why we're here. We get to do this together. And so this is encouragement for us. You can wave it around like you're at a Justin Timberlake concert if you want. You don't have to. You can just hold on to it. But I would encourage you to keep it, even though it won't glow forever unless it's miraculous, in which case tell me, because that's cool. But you can put it on your keychain, or there's like bracelet ones, and hang on to it as a reminder that you carry light, you carry the good news of Jesus with you wherever you go. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you reveal the nature of the Father, that is a nature of self-giving love, that you have loved us so much. You gave everything to have us back and to be in relationship with us. We thank you that salvation is for eternity with you, but it's also for now, that you've started healing and restoring everything around us. We thank you that we get to experience that. I pray right now, Lord, that if there's something that needs healing or restoration in our lives, that you would bring that to mind, and that we can just hand that to you, and we could say, Jesus, we need a little bit of heaven on earth in this area. I need restoration. I have something that's an obstacle between me and you, and I just want to hand it to you so that I can be connected to you. And we also surrender to you, and we recognize that we have this amazing news. We are carriers of the good news of salvation. Let us not get used to it. Let us not take it for granted. Let us recognize that people around us need good news, and let us be carriers of that good news to those around us. We ask tonight that we can experience your healing, your wholeness, your restoration, and that we can just freely give it away to those around us.